Hello, my name is Tom Boone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. Here's what we've got for you this week. Coming up today, you're still stuck with me for another whole episode as Joe is on vacation again, or still, though I promise she'll be back next week. Also on vacation this week is our audio producer, so sorry if I don't sound quite as crisp as usual, but again, back next week. So today I'll be taking a look at chaos for flights in Hong Kong and the UK, then we'll jump to this week's edition of Tom's Airbus A380 podcast. Following that, we'll look at the roller coaster that was Monarch's brief return before talking about something sweet in Auckland. So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And, you know, I wanted to start with the chaos, start as we mean to go on. And it's been a bit of a chaotic last week for aviation around the world. I was going to start by speaking about Hong Kong, but actually I think I'll go London first and then to Hong Kong because chronological order and all that. So at the start of the week, there was honestly chaos in the UK because passengers flying to and from the country found that their flights just weren't going. But this happened to be a problem for every airline trying to use the country's airspace. So what happened basically is that NATS, the National Air Traffic Control Service, their systems just had a network-wide failure, which basically means, my understanding of it is that an airline sent a an incorrect flight plan, and the computer system just did not know what to do with this. So rather than just rejecting it or putting up a flag or something, the whole system was just like, yeah, nah, I've had enough, I'm going on strike, and came down, which meant that it wasn't possible for air traffic controllers in Swanwick and Preswick to manage the flow of traffic through the UK effectively. This meant that, you know, there was a varying degree on several airlines, but, if you looked at the Flight Radar 24 boards for Heathrow or Stansted or pretty much any British airport on Tuesday, you would see that it just said cancelled, cancelled, cancelled. And we saw some delays of up to 500 minutes, would you believe? 5 hours, sorry. A lot of time, basically. Again, I'm glad I wasn't on that. Sorry, I did just say it was Tuesday, but it was on Monday. The whole issue initially came about when Loganair said that there had been a network failure of the UK air traffic control systems, which I thought was a bit odd coming from Loganair and not NATS or even someone like British Airways. But then a lot of the other airlines quickly jumped on board fairly soon after. In terms of NATS itself, they shared that they were currently experiencing a technical issue and have applied traffic flow restrictions to maintain safety. Engineers are working to find and fix the fault. We apologise for any inconvenience this may cause. It turned out until pretty much the end of Monday, the 28th of August, that this problem got fixed. And by then, you know, it was certainly from NATS' point of view just a one-day problem. But this meant that tons of aircraft were scattered all around Europe and even further afield where they shouldn't have been, which meant that even though Tuesday could have just been a normal day, it couldn't because none of the aircraft were really where they needed to be. But just to give some example of how serious it was, we saw airlines such as Ryanair, who notoriously have usually a really strict rebooking policy, came straight out and said, you know, if you're affected, you can switch to another flight free of charge or receive a full refund. Now, they do offer this on any cancelled flight, as they should, but they don't usually make such a point of saying, you know, like this, we're having to do this on such a big scale. EasyJet said something similar. British Airways was letting people rebook for, I think on short haul flights for an indefinite period, maybe or similar, but double check that. Don't take my word for it. And it's chaos that the UK hasn't seen for a long time, maybe since the Iceland volcano back in, I think, 2008 or so. It was a crazy day for aviation. But, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, it does look like things have got back to where they should be now. So hopefully NATS will learn a big lesson from this and take a big debrief, and something like this shouldn't happen again, or at least for the same reason. But like I say, you know, it wasn't just the UK that was suffering over the last week. It was also Hong Kong is suffering, you know, kind of yesterday, today, as we record the podcast, because of Typhoon Saola. Again, not the only place to see a typhoon, because Tampa International Airport actually had to completely close and tie down all of its jet bridges earlier this week because of a hurricane. So, you know, it's definitely hurricane typhoon season. But let's talk about Hong Kong, because we don't talk about that part of the world maybe as much as we should sometimes. So Hong Kong Airline, you know, fairly early on Thursday even, decided straight away that it was going to cancel 21 services on Friday and 11 on Saturday. And I think it's since cancelled more because of this typhoon that was impacting the coast of, or the area that Hong Kong operates from. You know, it wasn't just the airport. I read online also that schools and the such were closed because of this. You know, primarily affected were services to Bangkok, Tokyo, Naha, Okinawa, Beijing, and Shanghai. But, you know, additional flights, I believe, have also been disrupted. I think pretty much nothing was coming in or out today. It's quite interesting because, you know, I was chatting to a friend in Hong Kong, shout out to Dom if you're listening, who said, you know, from his point of view, there really was nothing to worry about, and it wasn't really as bad as anyone had thought. But, you know, I guess it's always best to be safe rather than sorry, because, you know, China on issued a typhoon warning for this as well. But, you know, they issued their highest typhoon warning because the winds reached over 125 miles per hour reportedly while traveling over the South China Sea. I'm unclear if Hong Kong issued a warning on that itself. But, you know, it's definitely been a week of chaos. Speaking to a press conference on Tuesday, Chief Secretary Chan Kwok Kee noted that the typhoon would be raised to a number 8 strong warning signal from 2 a.m. In Hong Kong on Friday. So, sorry, this is their Hong Kong's official thing. And they said, you know, most businesses, the city stock exchange, would be closed. And the comment that they made was, this can be a very destructive typhoon. We hope to minimize the damage. So hopefully, you know, they did minimize the damage. I haven't seen any videos or pictures of what they did to sort of protect the airport. Although if you get a chance to look at Tampa Airport's Twitter, they've got a really nice video of how they were protecting the airport from their hurricane. So worth checking out that. But, you know, I think that's probably about all that we can say about disrupted aviation today. Let's get on with something more positive. And I turn now to my favorite giant of the skies, the Airbus A380. Because yesterday, Lufthansa gave us even more good news regarding the jumbo jet. The giant jet. Jumbo jet is the queen of the skies, the 747. So, you know, let's not beat about the bush. Lufthansa has announced that it's reactivating more aircraft. It's going to have 8 A380s now in the skies, so 2 more than had currently been planned. Apparently they had 6 planned before. So far, you know, just as we know, DAIMK, I'm not going to do the phonetics today because it's Friday, it's the weekend, DAIML and DAIMM have been reactivated, returned to service. But, you know, they posted on their Twitter page, their Lufthansa news page, which, again, you know, have a little follow if you don't. And I know I keep saying Twitter, you know, can't get used to saying X, so just bear with me. They posted, time for good news, with a happy emoji. They said it's been decided that 2 more A380s will be reactivated between 2024 and 2028. This means our customers will enjoy a total of 8 A380s operating from our Munich hub as of 2025. So, you know, it's not going to be the whole A380 fleet as well. They did have 14 A380s before, and obviously they've always been trying to sell 6 of those, but it's never quite sure what's going on with them as far as I've seen. Since the A380's been back, they've flown exclusively to the US. They've flown to Munich and Boston, from Munich to Boston and also to New York. But this winter, we're going to expect to see Los Angeles and Bangkok added to the mix. I would love to see maybe Frankfurt to some eastern destination this winter or next winter or even next summer, but I think I might be wishfully thinking there because, you know, they've always said it's going to be a Munich-based fleet now. So ahead of the reintroduction, Lufthansa CEO Carsten Spohr shared with Simple Flying that his airline feels that bringing back the A380 was more important than it was initially thought. So this was maybe 3 months ago on Lufthansa's quarterly press call. I asked about that, and he mentioned that we're so glad that we made our decision on the A380, which 1 year after we made it turns out to be even more important than it was when we made it. In the past year, more delays from Airbus and Boeing were communicated rather than an acceleration of deliveries. I'm glad to have reactivated the reserve now. We will have to wait to see when Boeing and Airbus are really able to deliver on time again. So, you know, that was... you know, saying, you know, Lufthansa thinks they made the right decision to bring it back. And I think, if I'm not wrong, Carsten Spohr also always said that he would love to bring the aircraft back. Although I think it's very much a don't get too comfortable with it type thing. I don't think it's going to be back for the long term. As soon as Lufthansa gets its hands on its new aircraft, I'm fairly certain that the A380 would perhaps bow out once again. But you know, it's for me as an A380 lover, a certified A380 lover, self-certified, it's just so wonderful to see so many A380s coming back, because 3 years ago, if we were having this conversation 3 years ago, you know, you wouldn't have thought much more than Emirates would be bringing the giant of the skies back. And today, you know, over half of the fleet has returned to the skies. Thai is selling theirs, as we discussed last week, and there's a few others that aren't flying here and there. But, you know, so many airlines have brought the giant back. It's a wonderful thing to see. Moving back across the tiny pond of the English Channel and some European lands in between, I wanted to touch on Monarch Airlines, which, you know, it might be an interesting one to discuss because they collapsed several years ago. Interestingly, just a couple of weeks ago, I started getting emails from people suggesting Monarch Airlines was coming back. And I initially started digging into it. I dug into the records from Companies House, and it all seemed a bit confusing. And at first I was like, oh, I'm not sure this is actually happening. But then the weekend went by and some more news came out, and it did look a bit like Monarch Airlines would actually be relaunching. It seems like now that the airline won't actually be relaunching. We've had a real roller coaster of weeks, from the airline saying it would be relaunching to scammers trying to jump on to the relaunch of the airline and the airline having to warn about that, to now just backing out entirely. So Monarch's board yesterday, as we record this on Friday, so Thursday, revealed that it has slammed the brakes on plans to revive the British carrier. This is just 2 weeks after they announced it was coming back, and they've clarified that there's not really any option to move forward as things currently stand. In a statement posted on its website, the company's board had said, "It is with immense regret that we announce today that we've been forced to put the brakes on our process to relaunch Monarch. This is not a decision that we've taken lightly. However, since taking over the business 2 weeks ago, we have drawn close to exhausted the startup funding provided to us more rapidly than anticipated." They added, "We've been seeking alternate routes such as partial divestment of share capital and will continue to do so. However, at the current stage, there's no practical option to move forward in the immediate future." It does seem like it's the end of the brand for now. As I was looking yesterday, they deleted, and I think I checked as well again today, at the time of writing, they deleted their Twitter and LinkedIn pages, Twitter and Instagram pages, sorry. I've just seen that they've also now deleted their LinkedIn page as well. So, I mean, that doesn't bode well for it coming back. And even their website, letsmonarch.co.uk, now comes back as this site can't be reached. So you can't even find the statement that they've backed out of this now. So it really does look like this is the end for that little that little plan to reboot Monarch, but I mean, it was a fun couple of weeks while we had that outlook. Although, you know, the mystery does get a bit deeper because, you know, I said at the start of this segment, I was a bit skeptical when I first saw it. Our friends over at Head for Points actually managed to do even more digging into the whole drama, and they actually say it gets a little bit weird because, according to their coverage, and I'll put a link to their coverage in our podcast write-up on the website if you want to read it, the Monarch chairman was a guy called Daniel Ellingham, and he had a LinkedIn photo which appeared to be an edited flipped photo of a US politician called John Driscoll, who ran for the US Senate in Montana in 2020. So, you know, I'm not really sure what, if anything, there is to be read there, but, you know, as Head for Points say, it does seem a little bit odd. But, you know, it seems that Monarch, for the time being, isn't going to pan out, so let's see what happens. Now, just to wrap up quickly, it's a bit of a shorter episode, I think, today, but, you know, we're probably with Joe back next week, we'll have a lot more to talk about again. I wanted to go for another... I don't know, like, light-hearted story, per se, you know, and that would this week we're going to dive down into Auckland Airport, who helped with a successful marriage proposal. I find it really interesting to see all of the aviation marriage proposals, because I feel like on average we have maybe 6 to 12 a year that we see coming through our channels. We don't report on every single one, obviously. Just a couple of weeks back, somebody proposed to somebody else on a Ryanair flight, and Ryanair was very big in tweeting that all around. But now Auckland Airport, the international gateway to New Zealand, has also got involved, and they were the co-conspirator for a proposal to tell the world about a proposal. So, you know, if you were looking for a quiet, you know, you don't want much attention, this one would not be for you. Because using a pre-recorded message from the would-be groom, they actually put his proposal over the airport's PA system. The man was called Yashraj Chabra, and he approached the airport to see if they would join in. You know, my sort of initial reaction, if you ask an airport to that, would be that they would say yes. But they didn't. They decided, you know, let's do this. And I think it's nice on two levels. Number one, you know, it's really nice to get involved with these things because there's so much unhappiness in the world. Let's maximize the happiness that we can have. But also, you know, it's a little bonus, I think, for an airline or airport if they do get involved, because they can then share that as a bit of good press, which Auckland Airport did. So when he was waiting for his to-be wife in the arrivals hall, she was flying from Melbourne, the airport staff pressed play on the recorded message calling for her attention, and then he appeared, dropped down on one knee and presented the ring, and, you know, thankfully she said yes, because there were friends and family also there, and I can't think of anything worse than somebody saying no in front of an arrivals hall full of passengers. But, you know, thankfully she said yes, there should be wedding bells coming soon. According to our sources and the coverage we have on our website, again, you know, go to our podcast article if you want to find a link to the article where we wrote about this in more depth. The couple have been friends for around 8 years and only recently became more of a couple. So Chabra said that he was incredibly nervous asking the question publicly at the airport, and as somebody who's asked the question even not so publicly, I can understand that that completely. But he wanted to do something special to make it memorable, and I think that's going to be a very memorable proposal, not just for the couple, but also for anyone who was involved at the airport. Then, in a comment, he said, "She's a hard woman to surprise, and I really wanted to catch her off guard. I wasn't sure if Auckland Airport would go for it, but I was delighted when they said yes to making my dream proposal become a reality." Like any nervous guy about to do something a bit crazy like this, I'm so pleased and hugely relieved she said yes. So she is from Auckland, and she now plans to relocate back to the city from Melbourne so that they can start their lives together. She added to this, he literally made my dream come true with this beautiful proposal. What a whirlwind, stepping off the plane and coming home for such a special moment. I'm so excited and I can't wait to make our wedding happen. So, you know, I think it's great news for them. Adding in on it as well, the chief operations officer of the airport said, "The Auckland Airport Arrivals Hall is something quite special. It's often a really emotional place and carries a lot of nostalgic memories. We have teary goodbyes, joyful returns, and now a successful marriage proposal added to the list. We've enjoyed being part of the fun." I guess the only way they could really top this would be to have the marriage at the airport too, but I don't know if how well that would go down. But, you know, it's another proposal at an airport that we've seen, and good luck to the happy couple. So I've been rambling on for about 20 minutes now, so apologies, but well done if you're still listening to me. But I think that's about all for today's podcast, and I do hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you've got any feedback, feel free to email it to us at editorial@simpleflying.com, preferably positive, but we'll take negative as well. And for more great content, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. Simply search for Simple Flying. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating on your favorite podcast player. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.